Good evening. This is our online service for this evening hour. We are grateful that we have the opportunity to speak to you, even in this fashion. Due to our cold weather, the church service had to be cancelled. But since it is a week of preparation and we are accustomed to have an extra special service in preparation for that, we decided to present the message I was going to preach to you today via our internet service. So may the Lord indeed so also bless us together tonight, and may His word find an entrance into our hearts as we together consider a portion of the scriptures. Well, let's, instead of singing, read with each other from our Psalter book, Psalter 66. It is a prayer of David entitled The Look of Faith. And in that Psalter, he expresses his prayer and longing. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keep my feet from every snare. Turn to me, thy grace impart, I am desolate indeed. Great the troubles of my heart, save thou me, O Lord, I plead. Look on my afflicted state, freely all my sins forgive. Mark my foes their cruel hate, keep my soul, and let me live. Shame me not, I hide in thee. Truth and right preserve me still. Let, O God, thy people be now redeemed from every ill. So with these words of the Psalter, let us turn to the scripture reading tonight. And I'm asking you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And I will begin the reading from verse 17, and we'll read together to verse 40. So let's then consider the word of God from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word, and remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So we'll read this far from the book of Psalms. And then before we pray, let us also read from the Confession of Faith. If you have a Psalter, it's in the back of the Psalter, page 23. And I would like to read with you Article 33, which deals with the sacraments. So Article 33, back of your Psalter, page 21. We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and to strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, to better to present to our senses both that which he signifies to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby assuring and confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For there are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God worketh in us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore the signs are not in vain or insignificant, so as to deceive us. For Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment, no meaning. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of the sacraments which Christ our Lord has instituted, which are two only, namely the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far then, the reading of the scriptures from Psalm 119 and the Confession of Faith, Article 33. Shall we now join our hearts together and seek the Lord for his blessing? Gracious and merciful God, though we are meeting with each other in distance, may it please thee to bring our hearts together in thee. Through thy Spirit, we already read that in the confessional article, the secret agent, the powerful agent of communion. And though we are tonight, Lord, surrounded in Arctic cold, may our hearts glow through thee, about thee. Thy works are majestic. We all have sensed it today. For who can stand when thou sends frigid cold? And likewise, who of us can stand when thou sends majestic winds or burning heat? And Lord, these are the manifestations of thy power in the realm of nature, by which thou art reminding us that we are nothing against thee. So teach thou us to stand in awe of thee, sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. Teach thou us to know thee. Teach thou us to recognize thee in all these dealings that thy hand gives and takes, thy hand lays upon and withholds. And yet, Lord, in greater power than the powers we see in nature is needed to break through in our hearts. It is that for which we come before thy throne tonight. In this week that we set aside as a week of preparation, in which it is a desire also of thy children to examine themselves and who seek in special prayer and meditation to seek thy presence. O gracious God, the apostle of old spoke about the power of the resurrection that brought the Ephesians to faith. So great a power we need, not only to be brought to faith, but also to the exercise of faith. And Lord, let this exercise of thy power be experienced again and again in thy beloved children. Let faith be strengthened also in the means of the word and through the means of the sacrament. Let hope be established. Let love be stirred. Yet even hearts may be made willing. Let the darkness, Lord, may be dispelled, the doubts overcome, the fears quieted. For as we read this evening, even after all that the poet had learned of thee, he still asked, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Lord, how much needed that is also tonight. Open thou our eyes, that we may see new things with renewed joy and assurance. O gracious Lord, thou knowest what the Apostle Paul also asked for after he had learned all he learned from thee and preached so richly about thy glory, and yet he longed to know thee and the power of thy resurrection. And so each of us, each of thy children here listening with us, knows that need, feels that need, experiences, Lord, that unless thou buildst the house, we all labor in vain. And so in thy grace and mercy, Lord God, O thou minister to us, apart from thee we can do nothing. We also cannot prepare, we cannot meditate, we cannot celebrate, we cannot remember what thou art also saying and again showing us in the table of the Lord. Bless this portion, Lord, of Psalm 119 we will consider together tonight. Let David's prayer guide us as well as instruct us. Let it answer our questions. Let it deal with our fears or doubts. Let it minister to our needs. And yet bless it also to those of us who are listening who are still strangers, Lord, to the spiritual life. Oh, let thy word be thy power tonight to bring life, to regenerate young or old, to bring them out of the darkness into the light. Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall never return void, never, no matter how weakly it is brought. So teach us then to trust that thou wilt work out thy good pleasure through each preaching of the word and each sowing of the seed, whether we see it or we don't see it. Search also our hearts tonight. Lord, what thy word is searching, and this portion also tonight searches us, whether we know of the things that thy spirit teaches thy church, whether it is 3,000 years ago or today. And Lord, search our hearts, know our hearts, try our thoughts. Lead us personally in the way of truth, in the way of repentance, in the way everlasting. And particularly, Lord, may we plead with thee that thou would bless the sacrament for the purpose thou did institute it. We read of this confessional article this evening, and how beautifully is it there also worded, Lord, that thou art through these pledges of thy goodwill and grace willing to strengthen and nourish the faith of thy church, and may that be the experience this time. Lord, that thou affirm and assure thy people that the sacrifice and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ in life and death is theirs through thy gift of faith. Oh, bring home that sweet truth that sin is pardoned through thy blood, that the sinfulness is covered under the robe of thy righteousness, and that all those who by faith may learn to look unto thee are justified upon the grounds of Jesus' merits. And Lord, only thy Spirit can bring home these truths to our spirit, so that we may sing, that we may indeed be assured, as the apostle was. Therefore is there now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Deliver thy children, Lord, of the spirit of bondage to fear. Fill them with the spirit of adoption, that through him they may cry it out, Abba, Father, my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. So establish the weak in faith, so comfort the feeble-minded, so strengthen those that stand afar off. Draw them near, overcome all their fears, fears to take something that is not theirs. And Lord, so also keep the table pure. Thou knowest the hearts. Thou knowest what who do not belong at the table either. And so may thy word be as a word that separates between what is precious and vile. And Lord, so we bless thee that we have this opportunity tonight, in the midst of this dark world, yea, of this cold world, but also above all this wicked world. O God, we look to thee for the only source of all hope. Have mercy upon us and our families and our churches, upon our nation. Thou knowest the raging of the multitudes of evil against thy kingdom. Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt arise and to show forth thy glory and power. So hear us and receive our petitions and answer us. For the sake of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. This evening, dear friends and congregation, as you are gathered with us in this setting, I'd like to take you to a verse from Psalm 119. Those who are familiar with the Bible undoubtedly are familiar with the book of Psalms. It still is, and it probably always will be so, the most beloved book of the books in the Bible. It's the most personal. Psalm 119 is called by one a chest of gold rings. Not every verse is intimately connected to the next, though you notice they are all arranged in alphabetical order. Whether David or Ezra was the composer or the editor of these petitions together in this organized format is not really known, but we know that the author of these petitions is the Holy Spirit, and that through him the Church of God through all ages have found in this psalm an abundance of petitions, which we are, dear friends, to use in our own prayer life. It's my conviction and also my own poverty that we don't memorize enough of this psalm and of every psalm to use them in our personal prayer life. Perhaps the one for this evening will become an established one in our hearts, in our prayers at least. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. With God's help, let's consider what David is here asking. It's a prayer for assurance. And there are three things that we may observe together. First of all, his self-awareness. Secondly, his doubts. And thirdly, his course of action. David's prayer for assurance. First then, let's consider his self-awareness. Not only in this verse, but in the verses around this verse, you notice that there are various things that trouble this poet. Let us assume it is David. Notice verse 25, for example. He is struggling with wrong affections. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. In verse 29, he is struggling with wrong choices. Remove from me the way of lying. In verse 35 to 37, he confesses he has wrong tendencies of covetousness and vanity. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness, in verse 36. In 37, he admits his eyes are turning to beholding vanity. And verse 39, he speaks about reproach. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. It is not clear exactly what is causing him to be reproached or what he feels in this reproach. But in verse 42, he says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me. So David is having things that trouble him. And we can go to this psalm, and you'll notice if you go to the psalm like this, that there are many things that trouble this sacred poet. Does that make him familiar to you? Does this strike a chord of familiarity to your heart? David is a saint, but he is also still a sinner. Yes, he is a man after God's heart, but he still has a heart of flesh. Perhaps it is in some way comforting. When I read this psalm, I can say, I am not the only one then. And indeed, the value of the psalms is that it gives us an inside look in the soul that is born again, that is spiritually alive. Now never, dear congregation, must we abuse this reality. We must never think that there is an excuse for us to behold vanity and to be inclined to covetousness and to have low spirituality and to be, as David confesses in this psalm, often in the wrong way. We must never abuse the reality that the poets describe as a sort of indulgence to have a low spirituality. No, David wrestles with these matters. He's not content with it. He cannot accept it. He cannot live with it. When we look at the Apostle Paul's exercises he has revealed to us, we see a similar daily exercise. Doesn't he say, I exercise myself daily to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man? And elsewhere, Paul speaks about, I keep under my body all my fleshly sinful desires. He battles. And yet in this battle, is there not some sign of recognition that you see? And yet, then amid all these, let me call them sinful weeds, David is not blind for another reality. He is aware that there are also other things living within him. And I invite you to lay your heart next to this for a moment as well. Yes, I'm sure that you can identify with the covetousness. You may indeed struggle with this vanity. You may struggle with this low spirituality. But is there also something else within our heart? Look at verse 14. David writes, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced. There is a joy in me, he says. He's aware of that. A joy in the way of God's testimonies. In verse 24, thy testimonies, thy word, thy gospel, thy law, the entire scope of the revelation of God, they are my delight, and they are my counselors. To them I long to come, and to them I listen. And again, in verse 35, Lord, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for really, actually, therein do I delight. That is where I find my chief joy. That is the focus of my real desire. David longs for God. Notice in verse 19 again. I'm a stranger in the earth, Lord. He is not feeling home in the earth. He feels like he is not in the presence of the one he desires to be in, God. He longs for God. In verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. He hungers for God. He hurts for God. Look at verse 53. Horror has taken hold upon me, because the wicked hath forsaken thy law. Friends, look at these verses and reflect upon yourself. All around us, there is a forsaking by the wicked of the law of God. Our country is outwardly more and more slipping away from what for generations and generations has been valued as the foundational values. Does that horrify you? Does that depress us? Does that lay as a sorrow upon our heart? Does it ever make us cry to God? Are we aware of these things likewise? And now back to our text. Verse 38. The self-awareness of David. He says, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. What does he say about himself there? He says, Lord, I am devoted to fear thee. We know what the word fear means. It is the Old Testament equivalent for the New Testament word love. I love thee. I respect thee. I esteem thee. Thou art to me valuable beyond anything or anyone. I am devoted to thy fear. With Peter, David dares to confess in this verse, Lord, despite that my heart goes out after vanity, and despite that my heart doesn't always go out after thy testimonies, and despite, Lord, that I sometimes feel so much sin in me, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that despite this battle, I am devoted to thee. He says more. He says, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Now, dear friends, this is a statement of David's self-awareness. You can see he has two realities fighting within him. Flesh, spirit. The old man And what is this fear of God? What is this devotion to God? What is this love of God? What is this esteem of His word? What is this joy in His testimonies? What is it that makes Him value God's judgment? It's the new man. It is the born again soul. It is the spiritual David. It is the new creature that God has created in him. Now, as we reflect now on ourselves this evening, can you say this in good conscience before the Lord? Are you aware of this irresistible power which steadily influences your thinking, your acting, your purpose in life, so that you desire nothing else more but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him, to worship Him, to love Him? Friends, ask these questions. Is it indeed so in your life that you desire to give all the control of your entire life, of all the moments and of all the things that we do, to the Lord Jesus Christ? For that is essentially what the apostle means in Philippians, that they will bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him. Is that your devotion? Are you devoted to fear Him? Devoted to give your life to Him alone? Devoted to die to yourself? To die daily? To put to death those contrary, sinful desires, though you cannot put them to death, but you desire to do so? You fight to do so. Lord, I am devoted to Thy fear. Yes, that involves a daily battle. For indwelling sin resists this. And as we read to Psalm 119, as we read to other Psalms, we read to Paul's life, to Peter's life, we will always see that every one of these genuine saints of God are battlers with this inward battle of the old versus the new. Now, are you aware of this bent towards God and His will as your chief desire? That's the question. Yes, there's much that distracts. There's much that draws us away. Work, family, busyness with things of this life. There are many times that we are like the compass. The needle always points to the north. But when you put a magnet or you put some metal besides the compass, yes, it will draw that needle away from the north to the south or west or east. But take away all those metals, and what happens to the compass needle? It automatically returns back to its most attracted point, the north. Now, that's spiritual life. There'll be many things in our life that will constantly distract us from that which is the true magnet of our life. That is the spiritual life of God's children. There'll be much that withdraws their attention from Him. We're human. We're fallen still. But when all that is removed, where does the heart go out after? David could say, I am thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And now, friends, if you are to admit when you listen to this that you are not driven or ruled by David's desire, yes, you may force to conform yourself, but honesty is what you need to be. Inwardly, is this the heartbeat? Must you say, no, I am not devoted to that. That is not my chief desire. I need to force myself to conform outwardly, to set myself down to read. It is not my chief desire. And it's obvious, friends, that you need to be saved. May I then direct you tonight to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ for that. Turn away from self-effort. Turn away from looking within yourself. Turn away from waiting for better times. Don't just sit there waiting till it happens. No, God doesn't speak like that. You know what he says to you? Return. Return. In Jeremiah 3, verse 12, God calls Jeremiah to preach to the people of the north. Notice, those are the 10 tribes, evilly departing from God. And this is what he says. Go, Jeremiah, and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Friends, it is a dreadful condition if you must say, I'm devoted to myself, devoted to my projects, devoted to my job, devoted to my hobbies, devoted to this life. Turn with that reality to the only one who can change your heart. And that is the precious and almighty Savior. Cry to him tonight. Save me, Lord. Turn my heart. Devote my heart to thee in the fear of God. Now let us move on to the second observation on this verse. David's doubts. David is not without doubts. That is clear from the word, establish thy word unto thy servant. Calvin translates this verse in his own wording as, establish thy promise unto thy servant. The word. Yes, it is indeed a promise that David is thinking of. He's not without his doubts. Obviously, he says, establish thy word unto thy servant. The word establish is make sure. Confirm it to me, Lord. Make it good and make it real. There's something that makes David's heart restless. Does he doubt the truth of God's promise? No, he doesn't. He says, establish thy word. Thy word he believes. The promise he believes. The content of the scripture he believes. He doesn't doubt that is the truth. He doesn't doubt that Jesus is the only Savior. He doesn't doubt that the grace of God is his only hope. He doesn't doubt that there is in him nothing, but it all must be in God and from God. But does he doubt whether the promises are true for him? Yes. There's things in his heart and in his life that makes him struggle to believe this fully, with confidence, with joy. That's why he asks, establish thy word unto thy servant. Let's be thankful for David that he admits this in the psalm. For again, here he interfaces with the life of God's children also today. Even though we may be devoted to fear him, even though we may have a servant-like heart, still we can have a heart that can be troubled with doubts, with questions, with fears. And so what is it that causes David to doubt, even though he's devoted? Well, there could be various things. Let me suggest a few, and perhaps you recognize them. Does the continued inward sinfulness of your heart and the wandering of your evil mind trouble you? Do you wonder sometimes, how can that now be? If someone is saved, if someone has a new heart, if someone is now truly born again and has the grace of God living within them, how can it be that I am still covetous, still looking at the vanities, still struggle with my heart not inclined to God's testimony. Friend, let me answer that. The absence of this reality means you are not saved. But the presence of this spiritual battle between the flesh and spirit is a positive mark of being saved. Everywhere in the scriptures, we find this battle of God's children. Paul writes in the Galatian letters about this, the spirit battles against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. The great apostle admits it himself also. And yet this reality can so often cause us to doubt. Maybe another area that caused David to doubt is, do you feel yourself unworthy and unworthier as you keep meeting yourself in the ugly ways and forms along life's path? Today, maybe you feel cold, not inclined to spend time with God. Maybe tomorrow you struggle with jealousy. Maybe another day, bitterness with self-pity about your circumstances. And at times we feel haughty when we look at others within or without our church fellowship. Maybe there are days we're so unwilling to submit to God's sovereign dealings. We're reluctant to obey Christ's radical command. Except you hate your father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. Maybe there were moments we said, yes, Lord, but in many more moments that we say, really, Lord. Now, observing these ugly parts of yourself and coming across these ugly ways in which our old self comes out maybe makes you wonder sometimes. How can I believe God would love me? How can I believe that I am His and His sacrifice on the cross was for me when I am still like this? Was that something that made David doubt also? Or maybe you struggle with David, with the memories of some sins you have indulged in. In Psalm 25, remember not the sins of long ago, he says. Yes, memories of sin can trouble us until the end of our journey. Maybe you feel terror in your heart about the memories of sins because you weren't just tempted, but you bit in the temptation. You can see the picture of James in your own life. Lust conceived, brought forth sin, and when sin was finished, it brought forth death. And you say, if I now truly love the Lord, how can I be like that? How could I do like this? It feels like betrayal. It feels like an adultery. It's grieving Him. And besides, I did it despite making promises to God never to do those sins anymore. And therefore, troubled. See, David's doubts are rooted in an awareness and a struggle not always being able to put these things together. Grace and still being like this. But perhaps there's another yet that causes him to doubt. Do you fear because the Lord is hitting your heart with various setbacks, trials in your life, cross providences, things don't go well in family, personal, business? And maybe you say it is because He sees my hypocrisy, He sees my selfish motives and my insincerity, therefore it's going like this in my life. And friends, These could all be reasons why David is coming to God, "Establish thy word unto thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear." I am devoted, and yet I'm troubled. I am struggling with the doubts that thou art truly mine, and that these promises are true for me. And perhaps each of these above can be answered reasonably, as I sometimes try to do when we listen to these conversations that I have just spoken with you here in these few thoughts. But no reasonable answer can satisfy your soul or silence your fears. You may agree with the words, you may agree with the friends or the minister's sermon, yet inner doubt and inner distance and inner unbelief prevails. And you say with David, or with Asaph, "My soul refused to be comforted." Those are his doubts. Now let us conclude. What is David's course of action? He says, "Establish thy word." He goes into prayer. He petitions God to establish or to make sure or to confirm his word, his promises to him. And dear friends, this is the continued refrain you find in the scriptures. They don't solve their own problems. They take their problems elsewhere. They don't reason themselves into an answer. They bring their heart for the answer to God. There is something so beautiful in these verses of David when he takes his own personal need to the feet of Jesus. "Establish thy word to me, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear." Do like him then. And you sit there today and walk there today in the doubts and in the darkness of your heart, with the doubts and the fears upon your heart, not really daring to believe that these promises of the gospel are truly for you. Be like him. Bring your restless heart to Jesus' feet. Bring that unassured heart to Jesus' feet. Ask him, "Kiss away my doubts, O God. Speak away my fears. Establish thy word unto thy servant." Be like David. "Lead me, Lord, to the rock that is higher than me. Oh, take me out of the pit of miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and put a new song in my mouth. Establish thy word unto thy servant." How does God then establish his word to his people? Let us conclude with that question. The Holy Spirit does that. Through the means of word and sacrament. He takes his word, congregation. He takes his promises. He takes his assuring declarations. And it is through the Spirit that he declares them to our heart with a sweet and a convicting power. The Song of Solomon puts it poetically, "Kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth." It is only when we feel or when we experience that the Spirit of God takes these very promises and, as it were, seals them to our heart as a kiss. The Apostle Paul puts it practically, and he says that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, that is what we may ask for. "Establish thy word unto thy servant." We read tonight in this confession of faith about this gracious God, on account of our weakness and our infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us. For what? Thereby to seal to us his promises. Notice the word "promises." And thereby to seal to us and to pledge his goodwill and grace toward us, to nourish and to strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, to present to our senses of eye gate, an ear gate, and taste gate, mouth gate, that which he signifies to us by his word and inwardly works in our heart, thereby assuring and confirming in us the salvation which he imparts for us. So it is the Holy Spirit who through the word and the sacrament wipes away the doubt, enables us to rest on him in faith. Upon thy word have I hope. Notice in verse 50, this is my comfort in all my afflictions, for thy word has quickened me. And in verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Again, notice the Spirit there who has caused him to hope on the word. And therefore, dear children of God, dear strugglers, dear devoted servants to the Lord, in all your doubts, in all your fears, in all your struggles, seek to use the word and the sacraments. For it is through that means, those means, that the Holy Spirit desires to apply with sweet power the word to our heart. And therefore, a child of God in doubts and fears, who cannot deny that he or she is devoted to the fear, who cannot deny that sin has become bitter and grace has become sweet, who cannot deny that the things we used to love and esteem have no more that appeal, but the things of God that meant nothing to us now have become our valued treasures. And even though that with that fear and that devotion, your heart is still in doubts and darkness, you should not neglect to make use of the means the Holy Spirit uses to establish his word unto his servants. Imagine that I would say to someone who is walking in darkness, who cannot deny the fear of God in their heart, but who struggles with this unbelief, this unassurance, this unassuredness of their heart. Imagine I would say to him, my friend, I would advise you not to read the Bible until you are assured of your portion in Christ. You'd say that is pastoral foolishness, that is wrong, that is sinful. Indeed. I must indeed direct him to the word, because it is to the word that the Holy Spirit ministers assurance and the strengthening of faith. And so it is with the sacraments. The sacraments are instituted to strengthen the faith in what Christ did for his elect church. And therefore, beloved hearers tonight, if you cannot deny this devotion to the fear of God, if you cannot deny the matters that David also acknowledges that are nothing less but the marks of the grace of God, then fear not to make use of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Dependent, prayerful, looking to him with this prayer, establish thy word, thy promise unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Amen. Let's together conclude with prayer. O gracious Lord, how precious are these psalms, how valuable for the spiritual instruction and direction and comfort of thy living church. The reality of the struggles, O God, and every truly quickened soul battles with daily. The old self and sinful attractions to the world and to the vanities. This constant battle, O God, that wearies and exhausts us, in the tempers that take over, in the lack of feelings, in the coldness, in the distractedness. Thou knowest, Lord, that there is a people also listening tonight who do not ever find this a matter to rest in, but who find this reality a matter to weep about. And yet, then even sometimes, no tears to weep. O God, may it please thee to establish thy promises, yea and amen, in Christ Jesus, fully revealed in the Scriptures, in the testament which thou hast sealed with thy blood. Establish thou thy servants devoted to thy fear upon thy word, that our hearts may rest and rejoice, that we may indeed, Lord, triumph over all these fears, and say with Paul, I know whom I have believed. O gracious God, that seems perhaps unreachable, but it is not unreachable when thou dost give and exercise the faith. What thou hast begun, thou wilt never, never forsake. And therefore we plead, Lord, that thou wilt graciously bless thy word as the means of grace, and thy sacrament also as the means to strengthen thy grace, and that so this coming Lord's Day, thy children devoted to thy fear may be established upon thy word, and so rejoice in heart and soul in thee alone. And Lord, may such who were listening tonight and who must say, that battle is unknown to me. I cannot share it. It is not mine. O gracious Lord Jesus, as we directed them to come to thee, so we come to thee with them, with each other. Take our hearts, O God, tonight, and cause it to live. Cause it to turn. Cause it to weep. Cause it to be thine only. So graciously we bless thee for this opportunity, so for a moment to meditate with each other on thy scriptures. And may we have experienced, Lord, that for thee it is no matter the manner in which we gather, though we prefer to be with each other in thy house of prayer and worship. Bless us further in the night. Protect all those that are on the roads yet. Protect in safety, Lord. And will thou graciously return to us some more bearable temperatures, so that we may go in and out, also to school and to work. We ask all this, O faithful God, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Well, let us conclude with the reading of one Psalter together, and with that I will conclude this evening's portion. And that is Psalter 416, verses 1 and 3. 416, 1 and 3, in which another Psalm of David, he confesses as the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul pants for thee. Another mark of grace. Yea, athirst for thee I cry, God of life. O, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple? And not just to stand in thy temple, but to adore thee. And then he speaks to himself, brethren, in verse 3. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving, as let him still thy refuge be. I shall yet extol his grace for the comfort of his face. He has ever turned my sorrow into gladness on the morrow. May God bless us and bless you. Amen.